God's good, isn't he? Did y'all have a good week? Amen. I want to start something new this morning. We finished with what we started 3 or 4 weeks ago. I can't guarantee I'll get through today. In fact, I'll guarantee I won't, because there's so much script. I started writing scriptures Friday. The Lord gave me this Friday, and then I spent all day working on it yesterday. Working on it. I don't like that term, but anyways. And I started with one sheet of paper with a couple of scriptures on it. By the time I finished, I had 4 sheets with nothing but scriptures. Amen. I like the Word of God, because the Word of God confirms the Word of God. You don't need my experience to confirm the Word. Amen. You don't need a word from me to proceed to confirm the Word. All you need is the Word. And the Holy Ghost will do the rest. Amen. Now, I love the Word to, in fact, go to Psalm 119 while you're doing that, and I'll just fill you in on this. This is good. I kind of got tickled. I was reading something, and someone used this 119th Psalm, and then he listed, 10 or 12 other verses under it. He didn't go into them, the verses. He just listed the verses, verse after verse after verse. No preaching or explanation or anything. And I have several Bible programs. One of them is called E-Sword. And I really enjoy using it as far as concordances and stuff like that. And so I pulled it up, and on the side it has a list of reference scriptures to that particular verse. And he had listed all those reference verses that I'm going to use. So I thank God for that. Amen. My message for the next couple of weeks is going to be, where is our grief for sin? We live in an age today that explains away sin. We live in or the punishment. It's like someone said this one time, Pharaoh feared the plagues of God. And we do too. Everybody in this room would probably be afraid of hell. But nobody fears God enough to stop the plagues or stay out of hell. Well, we say, I've done this and I've prayed that prayer and I've been baptized and everything. It doesn't matter. That's not what relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, those who endure till the end, the same shall be saved. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Does that mean that I can't sin? Does that mean that I can't live my life my way and just miss a few rewards when I get to the judgment seat? Exactly. That's exactly what it means. If you're not going to stay with it, and we're going to see that in the Word today, so stay with me. If you can't stay with that, can't, won't. Hello, somebody. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. We all wake up many mornings and say, I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do that, I'm going to do the other, and fail completely. Amen. Maybe it's because we say that. Think about it a minute. Maybe it's because we brag on ourselves. That's all that is. That's bragging on yourself. That's self-righteousness. By the grace of God, I won't. By the power of God, I won't. If I cry out enough, long enough, hard enough, loud enough, maybe I won't. But nonetheless, I still have a sin nature that wants to. And you do too, and you better realize that. That's why you have so much trouble. That's why you're up and down, in and out. That's why you can post a scripture verse on your Facebook in one minute, and then 10 minutes later you're cussing. Hello? Or you're knocking somebody. Or you're trying to destroy someone's reputation. Where's our grief? You know, many of us cry. Big deal most of the time. My wife and I were talking about this in the car. I'm going to show you some weeping here in the Bible in just a second. Many of us cry, but it's not over our sin. Many of us grieve, but it's not over our failure as a child of God. I remember years ago when I was a young Christian back in the 70s and as a young pastor back in the 80s, We used to have what was called singings. How many remember singings, gospel singings? Sometimes it was the fifth Sunday. Sometimes it was once a month. So, you know, or on a Saturday night, we'd have singings. Now, we don't have singings anymore. We have concerts, which is a pragmatic word to get young people in, so we do rock and roll and call it Christian. We're liars. Didn't get an amen out of that one. But I remember many times, you know, you'd have people sing. Usually it was Southern gospel quartets that came to sing a lot of times. Because this is the South, hallelujah. So you have gospel quartets. And they would sing, and sometimes there'd be no response, or the people would clap, and every once in a while you'd hear an amen. But when they did a mama song, come on, somebody. When they sang a mama song, the tears would start. Amen? Someone would stand up and say, "Mama said she loved me, for she left to be with Jesus." Come on, somebody. Amen? That's emotionalism. But have you ever looked around on a Sunday morning? Have you ever looked around and know that there's people in this church, not the one up the street, this church, who are literally going through hell and ever grieved over them? See, here's what we grieve over. We'll grieve over a son that's out in sin, or a daughter that's out in sin, maybe even a grandson or a granddaughter. But how about everybody else? If we find out that they've got problems, if we find out that they got troubles, if we find out they're wrestling with an attack from the devil, many times because of our flesh and lack of spirituality, lack of love, we'll send condemnation, and we'll judge them, and we'll try to preach guilt about them. Or we'll stand there in our self-righteousness and say, "I thank God I'm not like him. I thank God I'm not like her." Like, remember the Republican, the publican and the Pharisee. Where's our grief? A man of God or a woman of God are going to grieve over sin, not just their own, but their own first. Not just their own, but as they see sin, as they sense sin, as they smell sin in the congregation, they'll start praying and fasting and seeking God. Not for what I can do, not for how I can counsel. God, convict our hearts and save us. In Psalm 119, we got three sections of that we're going to do in Psalm 119, so don't close your Bible. Finger. Keep it in there. Psalm 119, verse 53. That's way down there. I'll give you a minute or two to find it. Psalm 119, verse 53. Horror, say that, horror. Hath taken hold upon me. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Oh, hallelujah. Horror. Not just I'm saddened by the sin. Come on. Not just I don't want to go to that church anymore because there's just too much sin. There's too much flesh. There's too much worldliness. That's the average person today that doesn't go to church anymore. I can't find a church that preaches the word. I can't find a church where the pastor will stand on the gospel. Amen? Maybe God sent you to the last three churches that you left and called them apostate because he wanted you to pray. Come on, somebody. Don't listen. I'm not going to judge you. You might think I am. I'm going to tell this story. I'm not going to call any names. My wife and I were talking to someone this week who's been here for a while. But they told me, every message you've preached since I've been coming here has been to me. Amen? Now, I took that as a blessing. Come on, somebody. And he did. God's touching that person. God's drawing that person. God's letting him know that he's speaking to him or her so that he'll understand that I've got grace to get you out of your problem. I've got mercy to keep you out. How many want out and stay out? Grace and mercy. Then, on the other hand, there's people that heard the same message. Sunday after Sunday, heard the same, didn't you? Do y'all hear a different message than what I'm preaching? Does this side hear differently over here than that side? But rather than being broken by God and grieving from a movement of God in their heart, they get mad. They storm out. They won't talk. How do you justify that? Well, Pastor, you better start worrying about who's getting and who's doesn't. You know, when I was a young preacher and cared about what people thought, you get that on the way home, it would bother me. Well, someone would say, you know, you made old so-and-so mad. You got old so-and-so. You made them mad. They're fixing to leave the church. I would go into bondage like that. Today, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. I don't see you many times. God grant that to stay in my face, in my head, and in my... There's sometimes when I'm preaching to you, I do not see. I see forms and figures, but I don't see faces. I got protection of the Holy Ghost that's not going to let me see you try to destroy him. Not me. You think it's me, but it's him that you have a problem with. So you're wasting your time. I say, look, there's sin in the camp. When Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho and just wiped them out. I mean, just cleaned house, didn't he? Great army. Great protection walls all the way around them. Not once did they try to have a meeting about how they were going to take the walls down so they could get into Jericho. Do you hear me? Now listen, when you got a problem, how many times do you go to everybody? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? How many's ever done that? You all have. You got any sense? Joshua didn't do that. In fact, Joshua didn't even have time to do that because the Lord started speaking to him. This is what you do, Joshua. So you get your priests, you get your Levites, you get the ark, you get the army. And every day, you march around it. And you don't open your mouth. Oh, give me some grace here, Lord. You don't open your mouth. You want to blow a blessing? Talk it. You want to blow a blessing? Brag it. You want to blow a blessing? Blessing, do it. Do something that's going to bring attention to you rather than to God. Every day I want you to walk around that building, march. Keep your heads up, your shoulders back, because you're the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. You hadn't got to go with your head down and keep looking up like that, see if they're going to shoot arrows at you. And then the last day, the seventh day, I want you to march around it seven times, and I don't want you to open your mouth. And they'll be standing on the roof. They'll be standing on the walls, and they'll be yelling at you and throwing rocks at you and cursing you. Keep your mouth shut, get your head set, and get your eyes on the Lord. Oh God, I wish we'd understand that one. Keep your mouth shut, keep your head set, and keep your eyes on the Lord. But I can't see him. You hadn't got to see him to keep your eyes on him. You just got to believe he's there. Now on the seventh time, I want you to run, walk around seven times. First time, quiet. Second time, quiet. Third time, quiet. Fourth time, quiet. Fifth time, quiet. Sixth time, quiet. But on the seventh, I want you to shout. Come on, somebody. Shout. Shout. I've been doing this for a week. What has God done? I don't know. I don't know. Come on, somebody. I don't know what he's done. I've been doing this for a week. I hadn't seen nothing. I hadn't heard nothing. But your problem is, but the good part is you hadn't said anything. Hallelujah. You hadn't said anything. You hadn't blown your blessing. I'd have named this blow your blessing. Hadn't blown it. But on the seventh time, shout. And they shouted. and the walls fell down. Hallelujah. Except for a little piece of wall that didn't fall down. Anybody ever thought about this? Think about this. Who was the one that was responsible, and don't say God and don't say Joshua. Who was the one, who was the person that was responsible, so to speak, for the destruction and the victory of Jericho? Rahab. Come on, somebody. Rahab. She wanted to know what Israel was going to do to protect her and her family. He said, you get your family, you put it in your house. You put them all in your house. She lived, if they read the word, on the wall. When the walls came down, her apartment stayed up. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. When the walls came down, her apartment stayed up. Listen, everything around you can fall. Everything around you can fail. Everybody can leave you and turn your back and curse you and cuss you and make fun of you and talk about you and lie about you. But you'll stand still. Keep your mouth shut and God will fight your battle. Hallelujah. He's a good God. He's a good God. Horror. When you get like that, you can say, I'm a man of God, but don't. When you get like that, you can say, I'm a woman of God, but don't. If the horror of sin in here and out there doesn't affect you with brokenness and sorrow, you've missed God. You're self-righteous. You're unholy. Well, Pastor, I just don't like it there. Get saved. You'll like it anywhere he is. Oh, I just give you a truth. You'll like it anywhere he is. But as long as you don't like him, you're not going to like where he is. Trust me. Horror hath taken hold upon me. Horror, that word horror is from the Hebrew word zilafar, Z-I-L-A-W-F-A-R, zilafar. Listen, it's used here according to Strong. It's used here in a figurative sense, listen to this, for the most horrid mental distress, and strongly marks the idea the psalmist had of the corrupting, pestilent and destructive nature of sin. The wages of sin is death. When we hear that, it goes on one ear and comes out the other. We never think about it. Okay, I know, Pastor, I know what the Bible says. No, you don't. You know the words. You don't know the meaning. Come on. You know the words. You don't know the spirit of it. Amen. You know the words, but those words mean absolutely nothing to you, or you'd fall on your face and repent of your sin. The horror. We see things today that we had never seen. You know, I got to give the last 4 years of this last president credit. It opened my eyes to the evil, to the wretchedness, the destructiveness of sin in our own government. Never knew. I knew it was. I knew. You hear jokes about politicians and lawyers all the time, but I never knew the degree and the extent. Where's your grief? Where's your grief? Where's your grief? I don't want to touch an emotion. I want God to touch your heart. Where's your grief? I think starting today, all you Chapman kids, you're not leaving this room until you let me, till you stand out here, let me pray for you. Will that save me, Pastor? No. You got to come to Jesus on your own. But I'm going to put a protection on you. Not me, he will put a protection on you. You're the next generation of this church. Don't run away. Come on, somebody. You're the next group of parents here. Don't run away. Don't be afraid. Get saved and God will go with you and you'll go with him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's so great about God. Not only can you go with him, he goes with you. Where'd you take him yesterday? Where'd you take him last night? What'd he see? Where you been? Come on. It ought to horrify you to know you got to stand before Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Horror had taken hold upon me because of the wicked. The word wicked there means concretely and actively a bad person. Oh, come on. A bad person. You know what made them a bad person? A bad person, or the wicked, that forsook, he's talking to God now, that forsook thy law. God, there's a horror that come over me when I saw the wickedness of the people who have forsaken your law. The word law there is Hebrew, is translated from the Hebrew word Torah. It's the first five books of the Bible, the written word of God. Say written word of God. Remember that, because we're going to come back to it. The written word of God. To the church, this is more than the Torah. Amen? Because it's got more than the first five books of the Bible. If that word is not hid in your heart, when men and women of God see you many times, that horror that filled the psalmist fills them. I'm going to preach to you whether you like it or not. I've got nothing to lose. Amen. Been there, done that, got nothing to lose. Well, I won't be your friend anymore. Okay. God will send me another. Amen. I'll love them just as much as I love you. And I won't stop loving you. I'll keep praying for you because you'll need just a little bit more to get you through. This isn't a game. Amen. This isn't how to win friends and influence people. This isn't let's make a deal. Come on, somebody. This is your and my eternity. And you better get it straight. And we better have it right. But we've got nothing. Psalm 119. Go down to verse 136. Where is our grief? Where's our grief? If we're not broken over our sin, listen, chances are we're dead in our sin. Think about that for a minute. You're either, listen, there's only one or two things here as it comes to death and sin. You're either dead in sin or you're dead to sin. Hallelujah. And you know the average church member can't tell you which. The average church member cannot tell you which one it is that they're involved in, whether they're dead to sin or dead in sin. Because you know why? Because they live their life in the shadows of Christianity, thinking they're a Christian. Remember, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, I quote it just about every service because it's so important. What is it? What does it say? Matthew 7, 21 through 23. I'll give you a hint. Not everyone. Not everyone, you know the rest, don't you? Not everyone. But every one of them thought they were right with God. Oh, the horror. Listen, if we ever got a revelation of that, of us, in that verse, those three verses, we would be in Psalm 119, 53, 58. Can't see what it is. 53, I think. Where the horror would hit us. Does it not bother you every once in a while? Do you ever not lay in the bed and look in the ceiling and tears start filling your eyes and say, I've failed you, God. I've failed you. I've failed you. I've failed you. I've failed you. I'm worse than an unfaithful husband. I'm worse than an unfaithful wife. I've failed you. God considers that adultery. Do you understand? Spiritual adultery. He's going to want all of us, or he... You've heard this 1,000 times. Ladies, what if you met a man and you fell in love and he fell in love with you, but he said, listen, let's get married. And for 364 days of the year, I'll love you like you're the only person in the earth. But one day out of those 364, I want to go back and spend the night with my ex-girlfriend. Would you marry him? We do that to God all the time. Days without number. And there's no grief. There's no grief. There's no horror of judgment. Well, Pastor, all men sin. They do. But all men of God, all women of God break when the Holy Ghost convicts them of their sin. You don't break, you've never been broken. Say that right again. If you can't break over your sin, you've never been broken for salvation. You've just repeated worthless, saveless, religious, spiritless words that did nothing but touched your emotions and made you feel better. How many understand what I'm going to say this next sentence? Everybody feels good after a cry. Come on. Everybody feels better, don't they? Did you ever have a good cry and just feel better after it? But it meant nothing in the religious world unless it was from the Spirit. Amen. A lot of people are going to cry over not going to heaven and think they did everything right, but God can't let them in. In verse 136 of Psalm 119, rivers, say that there, rivers, not streams, not little drops, not a creek, but rivers of tears, rivers, rivers, waters run down my eyes because they keep not thy law. Now, it's not so much him they're talking about, but he's talking about the people around him. He's keeping the law. There's nothing more discouraging to a pastor than to preach his heart out with a word that he knows God delivered to him and put in his heart and put in his spirit, and the words that he's spoken through the message were the words of God. And watch people walk out the door unchanged. I didn't come here to challenge you. I came here to preach the word, and you cry out to Jesus so he can change you. Challenge won't kill you, will kill you, but it won't save you. Change me. Change my heart, O God, and see if there be any wickedness in me. Search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Have you ever done that? Yeah, at Revival, we did it one week, and in kids' camp, we did it. But I hadn't done it in generations. Search my heart. Lord, there's things in me that I hate. There's things in me that I don't trust. There's feelings that I have, God, that I wish I could get free from them. I wish I could get clean. God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Search me. Search me. That means take that light. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. What is the light that he uses to search me? It's the word. It's the word that you won't sit under, the word that you reject, the word that you hate, the word that when they start preaching it, you want to go home. Not a game. Judgment's coming. Hell is coming to this planet, and you're not ready. You want to play games. You fear the plague, but you don't fear the living God. That ain't going to get you to heaven. That's failure in the nth degree. Now let's listen to the word. Rivers of water run down mine eyes. Not emotions. Not emotions. Oh, poor you. Oh, poor you. I feel your pain. Come on, somebody. You don't know what feeling pain is. You know why? Because this is, you've never taken it, I hate to use this term, the next level. You know what the next level is? When you see them and God begins to move in your heart for them. Come on, somebody. And that's the same way God dealt with Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Jesus was walking down the street. Jesus was walking down through the field. Jesus was walking up a country road, and all of a sudden God, the Father and the Holy Ghost would put someone in his path. Amen. And the Word of God said, and he was moved with compassion. Come on, somebody. That's not love. Amen. Many of us love people, but we can't help them. We don't have the resources. We don't have the time. We don't know what to do many times. I told Joe the other day, I hate to go visit people in the hospital. I don't know what to say. Have you ever had this before? Yeah, well, you got it again. Let's pray. I have a hard time with that. She said, but you're a pastor. You better pray for me. I still go to the hospitals. When we could, we can't do it anymore. Jesus was moved with compassion. Do you know what he did when he was moved with compassion? He doesn't have grace. Okay, let me fix that right now. Jesus doesn't have grace. Jesus is grace. Do you understand? Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost, not like we are when God needs us to do something. Amen. Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost without measure. That means pressed down, running over. Come on, somebody. He had more than enough. You've heard that before. Jesus is more than enough. Jesus has more than enough. Now, here's the good part. When Jesus was moved with compassion, he could do nothing but fix their situation. Imagine the leper walked up to him. Jesus was walking through the city, and there was this leper sitting there. And he stood up when Jesus walked in, and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me whole. Amen. Jesus said, let me pray about it. I'll get back with you. Come on, somebody. He wasn't like us, was he? Let me think about it, and I'll give you a call. He wasn't like us, was he? He said, he didn't even say, do you believe I can? He did that to several, didn't he? Did that to Bartimaeus. You believe I can do this? Amen. Now, Bartimaeus may have had a problem we don't know anything about. But that leper said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. He said, I will. Amen. I will. I will. He said, be thou clean. Come on, somebody. You didn't get that. How many times have we gone to Jesus? We didn't hear his voice. We didn't feel his presence, but we said, Lord, please. And all of a sudden, you got relief. He answered. You didn't hear an audible voice. You didn't hear, I will. You did, you? No, you didn't hear anything. You just, I know that I know. Larry Lee, you say, I know in my knower. Amen. You just know. God's got this. Sometimes my wife and I will be praying over something, and she'll ask me when we're done, did you get anything? Or I'll ask her when we're done, did you get anything? I said, God's got this. I'm going to tell you something. I say that sometimes when God doesn't even move. You didn't get that at all. God's got this. Well, how do you know? I know God. You understand? I know God. You don't know God. If you got to ask me, you don't know God. How do you know? I know because I know him. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. The word law there is also Torah, the written word. I'm going to say something. It may offend you, but I'll take that chance. If you don't read this book, what do you got all that junk in there? Mark my places. If you don't read this book, please save yourself some embarrassment and don't tell me what the Lord told you. Amen. If you don't read this book, don't tell me what you feel in your heart. If you don't read this book, don't try to counsel me or give me instruction. Because you don't know this book. You don't know what you're talking about. You're just repeating something someone said or you heard. Say amen, somebody. Well, I'll preach it again. We don't have what God wants us to have. That's why we can't grieve over our sin. Do you understand? What do you think Jesus went through at Gethsemane? You want to be like Jesus? Yeah, when you say, I want to be just like Jesus, what they're saying is, I want to do miracles so people notice me. I won't speak the words and things happen so people notice me. I want to touch sick people and they'll be healed so people will notice me. Amen? You're not getting anywhere near Christ without a Gethsemane. Come on. If you want to be like Christ, you're going to have a Gethsemane, and you may have to stay there overnight, not just for a few hours, or for a weekend, or for a month, until God can bring you to a place where you say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Do you know that's the biggest problem we've got in the church today? I preached this last week, if you don't remember. What did I preach last week? What book did I use? Don't say the Bible. Amen. I preached, when I am my own God. Amen. And most of us in this room have ourselves as God more than we have Him as God. That's why we still do what we do and aren't convicted, because we're our own God. I can handle this. Every time you go through a spiritual trouble, and all your troubles are spiritual, by the way. Every time you go through a spiritual trouble and say, I got this, you tell Jesus he's a liar. You slap him and say, I can handle this, Jesus. Get back. Get back! Anybody going to get credit for this? It's going to be me. Anybody going to run this? It's going to be me. Anybody going to control this? It's going to be me. You are your own God. You are self-righteous. You are unholy. And when a man of God sees you and a woman of God sees you, the horror of your life and of your heart fills them. And they break before God for you. Do you understand that? Some of us are very lucky we have some of us in this church that look after us from a spiritual perspective. Hallelujah. Go down to verse 158 of Psalm 119. I beheld, you got it? Psalm 119, verse 158. And I beheld, hallelujah. That means I saw. Not only did I see, I watched. There's a difference. Come on. It's one thing to see something. That's usually a split second. It's another thing to watch. Amen? I beheld, I watched, I saw, and I watched. Listen, what? The transgressors. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is very, very important for you to listen to and pay attention. The transgressors. The transgressor, those who commit iniquity, those who sin, we like to lump them into one big group. And it's true. They're all transgressions are sin. All iniquity is sin. Amen. All sin is sin. But the word transgressor here has a special meaning as far as one who sins. Listen to me now. I'm going to give it to you. It's very short. It means to act covertly, behind the scenes, underground, backstage. What it says is, you may look right. You may present yourself as right and holy and righteous. But bottom line is, you have an agenda. And that agenda is you. Oh, come on. That agenda, that plan is you. When it's all over and said and done, it's you who are lifted up and not Jesus Christ. God hates that. And men and women of God loathe that, particularly in their own life. And they've all faced it. And they've all fought it. That's how they recognize it in you. Look out now. Let's read. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. That's a little word. We don't really understand that. Oh, I'm grieving. What's wrong with you? I'm grieving. I'm in grief. I'm supposed to be in grief for a year. That's what the culture says, right? I'm supposed to mourn for a year. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. The word grieved there means to detest or to loathe. I loathed what I saw. I detested what I saw. It broke my heart. Have you ever had your heart broken over someone else's sin, other than if they sinned against you? That's easy to get your, it's easy to get your heart broken when someone breaks your heart. It's easy to get grief there. Amen? But if someone else did something to someone else, when someone does something to you, it's easy to get, to show grief. And it's not only easy, it's pleasant. Now it's time for some attention. Amen? What's wrong with you? Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Amen? Yes, you do, or you wouldn't have been going on with that phony smile and that phony this and that phony that. Yes, you do. Tell the truth. You're lying now. You want to tell the world someone hurt you. Amen? You don't know the hurts of a Christian. Come on, somebody. You know why you don't know the hurts of a Christian? Because if you ever had any, it would clap your mouth. The only thing you could do is praise God. You'd be like Peter after they beat him for serving. For he wouldn't be quiet about preaching Jesus. They got him and they beat him. And he walked out of that room. Gosh, I can't believe this. I got beat for serving Jesus. This is a great honor. Do you understand? Oh, but Pastor, I've been ridiculed by my family for being a Christian. I've been ridiculed at work for being. That's because you don't know how to preach. That's because you don't know how to relate Jesus Christ to other people. I know, I've been there. People couldn't stand me to be around them. Amen? Because I didn't know how to share Jesus. All I knew how to do was condemn them. And we're good at that. And we do that. And we think we're serving God. And we're not. We're serving the devil. Amen. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Now, it doesn't say law now. It says word. Different Hebrew word translation. In the first two verses, it was the law, the word Torah, which was the first five books of the Bible. Now, this is good. You ready? When in this verse, he says, Lord, when he says thy word, the word is imrah. The Hebrew word imrah, and it means spoken word. You are witnessing today the imrah. The spoken word, not my words, his words spoken through me. Do you understand that? If you're a man or woman of God, God will speak through you. Even if you're not, God will speak through you. Even if you're a jackass, God will speak through you. He's done it. Amen? So if he can speak through one of them, he can speak through you. I got confidence in him. But I'm listening a lot harder with you than with somebody else. And that's the way it is. What do you want to do with that? Do you understand? What are you going to do with that? Well, again, every time I go to the church, you talked about me. You talking to me. You talking to me. You talking to me. Listen to me. Listen, please understand this. You need a Holy Spirit revelation. Go home and ask him for a revelation of what I'm going to tell you in the Imsah. You ready? I am not speaking to you. He is. Amen? He is. And I'm going to tell you something. Since all of you are here, I don't know which one of you he's speaking to, but I'm just going to give you all credit and say all of y'all. In fact, I may just start saying, instead of saying you, I may just start, all y'all. Here you go. All y'all are going to hell if you don't get saved. All of you are going to hell if you don't get right, if you've been saved, but you're not staying with God, because he said those who endure till the end, and if you're not one of them that are enduring to the end, you're going to hell. All y'all. Scare you? No, it didn't scare you, or you'd hit the altar. It didn't scare you, you'd be looking down, pretending you're looking up with scriptures on your cell phone. You'd be looking at somebody else with a question mark on your face. This is eternity. Where are you going to spend it? Oh, I'm going to heaven. How do you know? I just know. No, you don't. If you just know. That's how you know you're going to heaven. You ready? Because I'm not going by myself. I'm not going of myself. I'm not going because of myself. Amen? I'm going with him. I'm holding on to his hand. What keeps you, listen, preacher, what keeps you stuck like glue to the hand of God? The word. the word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. What have you committed, Pastor? Me. Me. The righteous man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. How does he do it? He's got his hand. He's got his hand. He doesn't pull himself up by the arm of God. The arm of God reaches down and pulls him up. You better get that. Because you're still doing it backwards, and that's why you keep falling. This is the day the Lord hath made. It doesn't have to be Sunday. Doesn't have to be Saturday. This, it ends in Y. That's all you need. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. Not I might rejoice. Not, Lord, give me something to rejoice about. I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad in it. Amen. Hallelujah. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. You can amen me all you want, but if you're not going to live it on the other side of those doors out there, it's worthless. It's just going to add to your judgment. Look out now. It's just going to add to your judgment. Why do you think God gave me this to you, to give to you today? This is not mine. This is his. Do you understand that? You still don't understand. You think I go around trying to find messages that'll make you mad. Amen? No, they just fall into my lap and I preach them. Come on, somebody. And they make you mad. Praise God. I'm not sorry that you get mad. You know why? Because that shows me the word is working. It shows me I need to pray for you more because you're working also, but against the word. Today someone's going to walk right into the hands of God today. Today someone's going to walk right into the arms of God and say, Lord, I've tried to do this on my own. I've tried to. I've thought about it. I've asked people about it. But right now, Lord, I'm going to give myself to you and you do with me what you will. Amen. No holds barred. God, if you got to crush me, crush me. You got to stomp me, stomp me. Amen. You got to put me through the wine press or you got to put me through the oil press. Do you understand? Just do what it takes to change my life. Did you get anything? Pick up part 2 next week. Stand to your feet. I'm finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where is our grief? We're going to talk about Ezra next week and how he grieved. Go read the book of Ezra. It won't take you long. This week. Lord, most of the time when we study your word or we hear the word preached to us, we realize by revelation of your Holy Spirit that we're not all we think we are. We haven't arrived. We worry too much about being promoted from one level to another. That's not of you, God. We're all on level ground. Calvary is on level ground. The only thing that's different about us, God, is some of us are farther away than you are, farther away than each other. God, it's hard. The way is straight, and it's narrow, and it's hard for us that love ourselves and serve ourselves to maintain balance on that narrow road. But Lord, all we've got to do is get behind you. And we're not going to fall to the left or to the right except by sin. If we fall any direction, let us fall forward, God. And reach behind as we fall and keep us up, grab us. Thy right hand holdeth us and gives us surety and gives us security that we might serve you and know you and be yours and your ours. Father, send your Holy Spirit this morning, if you haven't sent him already, to convict us of our sin. Allow us to break. Allow us to be broken in your presence over our sin. You know, many of us today, if we were sitting in the upper room at the Last Supper, and Jesus would say to all of the disciples, and us included, "This night, one of you will betray me." There'd be many of us that would rebuke Jesus and say, I refuse that, Jesus. I reject that. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Jesus. And Peter did that. No, but not at Gethsemane. I mean, not at the upper room. But everyone of those men in that room were so concerned over their relationship with Jesus Christ. All they could say is, "Lord, is it me? Is it me?" Now, if any of those men had said, "It's you," I believe they would have fallen on their face at the feet of Christ and begged his forgiveness, except Judas. And he didn't. He didn't. But Jesus didn't embarrass him. He said, "What thou do, do as quickly." Amen? Let's get it over with. Get the show on the road. He's doing the same thing to you this morning. He's saying, "Listen, I've got grace for you. I've got forgiveness for you. I've got heaven for you. Your move is the next move. I've done all I can do. I've opened up the doors. I've opened up your heart. Now, either come in or sit down. If you come in, I'll change you. I'll make you like you've never thought about being made. I won't remake you. I'll make you. If not, there's nothing I can do for you. Remain to be your own God." Father, don't let that happen to anyone in this building. Save, heal, deliver, baptize in the Holy Ghost. We'll give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, the altar's open.